reading from Jiva Dharma, chapter 22, Gamaya. The commencement. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Daksur Mulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. And in two days, then I'll be heading to Sridhar Mayapur. And then 2 weeks after that, I'll be headed to Puri for my Puri Yatra. And I heard that there will be some of the people on the East Coast will be there. I know at least three different couples or sets of people that are coming. So we're reading Jiva Dharma and wonderful novel by Bhaktivinod Thakur. And as describing people coming to Krishna consciousness, the generation after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's centered in one of the nine islands of Navadvip. Navadvip means nine islands. One of the islands is Godramdvip. And it's the island that exemplifies Kirtan. And in a kunj, just a forest bower, there are these different ashrams of Babaji's or advanced renounced souls. And it's a story of somehow people by the transcendental system, finding them. And where in the story, it's probably the rest of the book now, where one great logician, this Lord Chaitanya also was a logician, you know, and he wanted to study his Lord Chaitanya's system of logic. Instead, he became attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and then wanted to find out more and became a devotee, and now he's advancing. And his guru is instructing him, and his guru is Raghunath Das Babaji. And he's instructing him on something called Dashamula, 10 root instructions, and this is the last instruction. Remember, this pramana is the means of knowing, and then there's prameya, what is to be known. And we're discussing the last nine subjects of what are to be known, and what is to be known. Sambandha, Abhidaya, and Piyojana. This is Piyojana. This is the goal. And what is the goal? The goal is to attain love of Godhead. And the budding state of that love of Godhead is called Bhava. Somehow or other, by our heart, our purity, our sincere, ardent wish to serve Krishna means to please Krishna. Krishna gives us his own pleasing potency. This is the essence of his Sarup Shakti, his internal potency. And the aspects of Samvit Shakti, the cognitive, the understanding, Samvit, you'll know who you are, and the Ladini Shakti, love of Godhead, and you'll have the feelings of love. Those two Shaktis enter your heart, and it awakens full realization of your eternal relationship with Krishna, because it's in you. It's buzzing. And now he's describing the symptoms. He described this two ways, to get it by practice or by mercy. We never just wait for the mercy to get it. Prabhupada said it's like wanting to get a degree and waiting for an honorary degree, but by the practice. And there were different types of symptoms. And we discussed there's shanti or tolerance, where you remain peaceful despite this cause. Then there's avyarta kalitvam, that not a moment is wasted. Then there's virakti, or detachment, not just staying aloof, but complete disinterest. And then the question, do you have to be a Babaji or enunciate? He said, no. Whatever station of life you're in. And then there's mana sunyata, or pride, and free from pride. And free from pride means humility comes when you actually have reason to be proud. Because the abhiman, the pride, is connected to something you have. So despite having that, now the next quality is ashabandha, the bondage of hope. So Vijaya asked, this is his uncle, what is ashabandha, the bondage of hope? And he says, ashabandha means to engage the mind in bhajan, bound by the unswerving faith that Krishna will certainly bestow his mercy upon me. It's the hope that one gets that can't be bound when you actually meditate on Krishna and understand his kindness. And understanding his kindness gives you hope, because mercy can bridge the gap between the price of an object and your inability to pay for it. So despite our inability to attain the mercy of Krishna, to attain Krishna by our practice, somehow we have this hope. When you have that bhava and you have a sense of God's love in your heart, it gives you hope. It gives you hope. And that's one of the symptoms of bhava. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that these symptoms, there are other symptoms of bhava, because the heart melts and there's an emotional symptom. But he said those can easily be imitated. But these are things that are demonstrable. And what is utkanta, deep longing? Utkanta is extreme greed to attain one's heart's desire. Ut means the neck, and kanta means stretch. So it's an image of a bird stretching for a worm. The neck is stretching. That kind of eagerness, stretching of the neck, that type of eagerness for Krishna is called utkanta. Vijay, what is nama kirtan ruchi, taste for chanting Sri Hari Nam? Ruchi in Nam Kirtan means incessant engagement in Harinam with the faith that Sri Harinam is the highest of the many types of bhajan. So that comes, that ruchi, you just want to chant all the time. It's not a question of finishing your rounds. It's a question of loving Krishna, and you love Krishna. And whenever you get a chance, you love Krishna, you express that love for Krishna. Ruchi for Nam Kirtan is the key attainment of supreme, is the key to attaining supreme auspiciousness. Another day I will explain the truth regarding Sri Harinam. Vijay, what is Ashaktis-Guna-Kyane? Attachment to the descriptions of the transcendental qualities of Krishna. Babaji, it is said in Krishna Kanamrita, Madhuryad api mudaram manmatata tasya kim api kaishwaram chapayad api chapalam cheto batahariti hanta kim kurma. Sri Krishna, as the transcendental Cupid, is sweeter than the most sweet, and his adolescence is more restless than the most restless thing. The qualities of that transcendental Cupid which defy description are stealing my mind. Alas, what shall I now do? End quote. No matter how much one hears about Krishna's qualities, one never becomes satiated. The attachment to hearing goes on increasingly incessantly, and one never wishes, never stops wishing to hear more and more. What is Tadvasati Stali Priti, affection for the places of Krishna's pastimes, Babaji? When a bhakta performs parikram of Sri Navadvipa Dham, he inquires as follows. O resident of the Dham, where is the birthplace of the dearmost master of our life? In which direction would Mahaprabhu's kirtan party pass? Please tell me where our master used to perform his forenoon pastimes with the gopis. The residents of the Dham reply, this place where we are standing is Sri Mayapur, the elevated place that you see directly in front of you, surrounded by the grove of tulsi plants, is the very place where the most precious appearance of Sriman Mahaprabhu took place. I'm really looking forward, you know, and every day about 10 or 11 o'clock, I'm going to live about a 10-minute walk from the yoga pit where Lord Chaitanya was born. I can see his place from my window. I think, you know, every day I'll walk someplace and just be eager to see them. Just see the villages of Ganganagar, Dumulia, Gadigacha, Majida, and others. Srimad Mahaprabhu's first Sankirtan party passed through these very villages. Hearing such sweet talk, saturated with praying from the mouths of the residents of Goda, his body thrills with horripilation. His heart becomes overwhelmed with bliss, and tears trickle from his eyes. In this way, he performed parikrama of all Mahaprabhu's pastime places. This is called affection for the places where Lord performed his pastimes. Tadvasati Dali Priti. Rajanath, should we understand that Rati, so then he's described the, how many qualities? I believe it was 10. No, there are 9. 9 symptoms of bhava. Rajanath, should we understand that Rati towards Krishna has arisen in every individual in whom we observe this kind of emotion? No, Rati is emotion that arises spontaneously towards Krishna. Similar motion may be observed in relation to other objects, but it cannot be called rati. If you can have emotion to other objects in a similar way, but it's not rati because it's not going to be love. It's going to be emotion, but it's not going to be an emotion born from this depth of devotion and love for Krishna. Vrajanath, will you kindly give one or two examples to make this subject clear? Babaji, suppose a man desires liberation, But the dry and difficult worship of Nirvishesh Brahma seems troublesome to him. Then he hears from somewhere that one can very easily attain mukti simply by uttering the names of Bhagavan. For example, Ajamil attained mukti easily by uttering the name of Narayan. When the man hears this, he becomes overjoyed, and he remembers the power of Srinam to give liberation. He becomes agitated with ecstasy, thinking that he will receive liberation easily. He chants Sri Harinam, weeps continuously, and falls down unconscious. In this instant, the name uttered by the sadhaka who desires liberation is not Shudanam, and the bhava that he displays is not Krishnarati, Shuddha Bhava. This is spontaneous feelings is not directed towards Krishna. His main objective is to obtain mukti and not Krishna praying. The name that he utters is called Nam Abbas, and his emotional display, Baba, is called Baba Abbas. Abbas means not the full manifestation. Like dawn is an Abbas of the sun. You don't get the full light. You don't get the full heat. So people may chant not with the objective of getting Krishna Bhakti, but they'll feel something. But without that objective for Krishna Bhakti, it won't arise to the full manifestation of Baba. Another example is that of a person who worships Durga Devi in order to attain material enjoyment. He prays, please give me benedictions, please give me wealth. Then thinking that Durga Devi will fulfill his heart's desire as soon as she becomes pleased, he exclaims, O Durga! And rolls on the ground before her crying. This person's bhava, when he cries and falls on the ground, is not Shuddha bhava. It's sometimes described as bhava abhas, and sometimes as false or impure emotions, ku bhava. Ku means bad. But actually, people can have emotion, and it's not even connected to bhava. And it's a material type of enthusiasm, which is of a complete different quality. Bhava cannot arise unless one performs unadulterated worship of Krishna, Shuddha Krishna Bhajan. Bhava is known as Kubhava or Bhava Abhas if it arises from a desire for material enjoyment, bhoga, or liberation, moksha, even if it is related to Krishna. The one, they're desiring liberation and take the Nam, Kirtan, and that's Baba Abbas. It gives you something, but not the full thing. And one may worship some demigod like Durga and be excited for the enjoyment one's getting. That's Kubhava. Kubhava, not really impure emotion. The word Kubhava refers to any sort of bhava that may rise in the heart of one who is contaminated with Mayavada philosophy. Even if such a person lies unconscious, the seven viharas, this display cannot be called bhava. Aho, even the most elevated liberated souls who are freed from all kinds of desires incessantly search out Bhagavad Rati. Rati and bhava are the same meaning. It is the supreme secret, and Krishna does not easily bestow it. Even on completely sincere bhaktas, whose practice of bhajan is fully accomplished, how then can it arise in the hearts of those who do not have Shuddha bhakti and who are contaminated with desires for material enjoyment? So, it has to come by Krishna's mercy. And we have faith it will come, but it's still, it's not in our hands. It's in the hands of God, Krishna. Vrajanath, Prabhu, it is often observed that when those who desire material enjoyment and liberation perform Harinam, they manifest the bodily symptoms of bhava that you have described. How is this to be understood? Babaji, only foolish people are astonished to see the external symptoms of bhava in such people. Those who understand bhava tattva properly call this bhava the semblance of rati, rati abhas, and they remain far away from it. So there are ways that one can get a connection with Baba and have some feelings, but it's not really the full manifestation of, it's not really the full manifestation of Baba. And that's called Ratyabhas. And a little technical, he's going to describe the different ways where not the full rati, but the abhas of rati could come. In people who perform Harinam Sankirtan, but do it with the material objective that my desires will be fulfilled, or liberation, that all my pain will be finished. They have a personal motive. He's saying it's foolish to think that this will ever become Baba, but it will become the dawn of Baba. So there's two types. He explains Ratyabhas, reflected Ratyabhas, which is Pratibimba, and shadow, which is called Chaya Ratyabhas. So there's Pratibimba, reflection, and Chaya, shadow. So the reflection and the shadow are not the same potency. You can have reflected light. It's not the same thing as the direct light. You could have a shadow of something, which is not the same as the real thing. So these are two names that describe analogously the conditions of certain types of emotions that arise while chanting Hari Nam, when you don't have the pure motive, but you desire material enjoyment or liberation. So what is Pratibimba Ratyabhas? People who desire liberation think that one can only attain mukti through Brahmagyan. But the spiritual discipline of Brahmagyan is difficult and troublesome. Some of them come to understand that mukti may be achieved simply by performing Harinam. That one may attain Brahmagyan this way easily without the hard labor. When one thinks like this, they become very blissful, expecting to attain mukti without having to undergo great difficulty. Then this semblance of the bodily transformation, such as tears or epilation, appears in the body. Such transformations are known as Pratibimba Abhas. So you become excited that your goal is being fulfilled. It's almost like a little bit, maybe even selfish, that your goal will be achieved. And there's bodily transformations, just like, you know, we can get emotional about anything and cry. And the other things, too, of hair standing on the bed also can happen. That also can happen materially without the spiritual element. So that's Pratibimba, and this is Ratyabhas. Now he says, why are they called reflected? Pratibimba, why is this called reflected, he says, this type of thing? He said, in those who desire liberation and material enjoyment, if they have the good fortune to associate with advanced devotees, they also begin to adopt the processes of Harinam, Kirtan, and so on. At that time, some reflection of the Baba moon in the sky of the Shuddha Bhakta's heart also appears in the heart who are thirsty for liberation. This reflection is called Pratibimba. So the real Baba appears in the heart of the pure devotee. But because you're doing Harinam, even for material reasons, and you associate with him, then it may be reflected, but it's not the same force. This reflection is called at that time, some reflection of the Bhava, okay, this reflection is called Pratibimba, Shuddha Bhakta Bhava, pure love, never arise in the heart of those who desire material sense enjoyment, liberation. But Bhava Abbas arises in them when they see the Bhava of Shuddha Bhaktas. That Bhava Abbas is known as Pratibimba Abbas, and it does not generally produce any enduring benefit. It only bestows material enjoyment and liberation, and then it disappears. Such Bhava Abbas may also be understood to be kind of a nam aparad, because you're having a misconception of the name, or you're using the name for your own, you know, benefit. But to use the name, the jewel of the holy name, to pay for something as cheap as liberation or material things, it's like having a diamond, a huge diamond, and going to the grocery store to buy bubble gum, which just put a silly image, which hasn't been in my mind for maybe 40, 50 years, when you were young. This is before I was six, when I lived in Bensonhurst. You know, how you would go to the candy store. And, you know, you'd really be into picking out some really, you know, candies for yourself. But if you pay with it, with a diamond, then it's like an insult to the diamond. So if you pay for liberation and material enjoyment with the holy name, it also can be a namaparad. So that's Pratibimba. It's reflected from the heart of a pure devotee. And Vrajanath, please explain the nature of Chaya Bhava Abbas. When a Kanishtha Bhakta, who is unacquainted with knowledge of the self, Atmatattva, associates with activities, times, places, and bhaktas that are dear to Krishna, a shadow of Rati may appear. Compared to Rati itself, this shadow is insignificant by nature and unsteady, but it creates curiosity as to the Rati, the Shuddha Bhakta experience, and it destroys sorrow. This is called Chayabhas. The bhakta of those bhaktas may be pure up to a certain limit, but is not resolute, and that is why it gives rise to Ratyabhas. In any case, such Chayabhava only rises through the influence of many pious activities. This Chayabhas is a little bit more forceful. If you're not very advanced, but in a simple way, your association with devotional activities are there, and therefore some of that sentiment of Bhaktivinoda Thakur early in the Jiva Dharma says that every object has a Shakti, and acts and objects of devotion have a bhakti shakti. So by associating innocently, not offensively, even though you don't have full knowledge, with various devotional activities, then you get a shadow. And this is more powerful than the reflection. The bhakti of these bhaktas may be true up to a certain limit, but it is not resolute, and that is why it gives rise to Ratyabhas. In any case, such Chaya Bhava Abbas only rises through the influence of many pious activities. By the association of Vaishnavas, satsang, Chaya Bhava Abbas becomes pure and subsequently gives rise to Shuddha Bhakta. Nonetheless, one should bear in mind that no matter how developed this Bhava Abbas may be, it gradually wanes like the moon in the dark half of a lunar month if one commits some offense towards a pure Vaishnava. What to speak of Baba Abbas, even Shuddha Baba will gradually vanish if one commits offenses towards devotees. We have to be so careful in how we deal with Vaishnavas. We have to be so, so careful. Can't stress this enough. Because by associating with so many things in an innocent way, this Chaya Abbas of bhakti, this shadow of bhakti may appear in our hearts, and it can mature if we don't commit offenses. But if we do, then it will wane. If one repeatedly associates with those who desire liberation, his Baba will also become Baba Abbas, and he may fall victim to pride of thinking himself to be Ishvara. So if you associate with impersonalists, and you get the wrong conception, also it may wane or vanish. That is why it is sometimes seen that when bhaktas are dancing, they develop the desire for liberation. These new bhaktas do not think carefully and consider their situation. So they associate with those who seek liberation, which result in disturbances. New bhaktas, therefore, carefully avoid the association of people who aspire for liberation. So you don't have much knowledge, and you're chanting, and you're getting some feeling, and then you start thinking that, you know, everything's about yourself, and then, you know, you start desiring liberation, and then you don't have much knowledge, and you associate with those people, and then your bhakti can vanish. Occasionally, the state of bhava is seen to arise in someone suddenly without apparent cause. The explanation for this is that he's practiced sadhana extensively in his previous birth, but that practice could not bear fruit until now because of various kinds of hindrances or impediments. However, Shuddha Bhakti Bhava suddenly arose in his heart when these obstacles were removed. So different people may have different levels of spiritual evolution. And someone coming, he may not have completed or achieved it, but when he comes and takes it up, he starts at a very advanced level, and in this life gets to remove the obstacles to the attainment that he was seeking. So someone could actually manifest it. And I do know some Baba Bhaktas. And it's obviously from last life. Sometimes an excellent state of Baba like this may also arise suddenly because of Krishna's mercy. This kind of Baba is known as Sri Krishna Prasadja Baba. We discussed that. Baba can also arise not just by practice, by mercy. One should not criticize a person in whom true Baba has manifest. Even though one may observe some slight fault in his behavior, for once Baba has arisen, the sadhaka becomes completely successful in all his endeavors. Under such circumstances, it's not possible for him to behave sinfully, but if any sinful behavior is sometimes observed, it should be understood in one of two ways. The Mahapurush Bhakta may have performed some sinful activity by force of circumstance, but he cannot possibly remain in that condition permanently. So the bhava has arisen, but it's still not prema, the fully matured state. So sometimes there may even be traces of past Vaishnav aparad. And somehow or other, very soon, he's going to be completely overwhelmed. But sometimes there still may be some accidental thing. We know from the story of Bharat Maharaj, he was at the stage of Baba, and then he saw some deer and became affectionate and developed some mundane desires. Alternatively, some semblance of sin, Papa Bas from his previous life, has not been completely destroyed and still present even after Baba has arisen in him, although it will be destroyed very soon. one should think like this and not pay any attention to the commonplace faults that may be seen in bhaktas, for it is nam aparad to do so. And the Sringa Purana forbids us to absorb our attention in such faults. Bhagavati chahara vananya cheta vishamalano pi virajate manushya ehi shasha kalasha kalashash chavi kadachit timana paro bhavatam upaiti chanda. Just as the moon is never obscured by darkness, even though covered with black spots, similarly, a person exclusively devoted to Sri Hari remains glorious, though by appearance he may be wicked and depraved. It should not be concluded from this instruction that a bhakta repeatedly engages in sinful activities. Once a bhakta has developed nishtha in bhakti, he will have no inclination to sin further. However, as long as the material body exists, there's a chance that sinful activity will occur unexpectedly. If a bhakta is exclusively devoted, the influence of his bhajan immediately burns to ashes all kinds of sins, just as a blazing fire easily consumes a small heap of cotton, and he becomes cautious not to be victimized by any sinful activity again. All kinds of sinful actions are dissipated at the stage of steady, uninterrupted ananya bhakti, so it may be clearly understood that those who repeatedly engage in sinful activities have not yet developed this type of bhakti. To engage repeatedly and knowingly in sinful activity while practicing bhakti yoga is nam aparad, which uproots bhakti completely and casts it aside. Bhakti, therefore, keeps them distant from such offenses. Rati is by nature restless, ashanti, warm, vigorous, and blissful, because it is perpetually full of increasing spiritual longing, abhilas. Although it produces warmth in the form of sanchari bhav, it is more cooling than millions of moons, and it tastes as sweet as nectar. So he's just describing the nature of bhava. That, it can be poison and nectar, really. I think sometimes it's described like that. There's a feeling of separation. There's a feeling of union. There's many, many, those sanchari bhavs mean there's many, many various forms of emotions that will arise at this time. When Vrajanath and Vijay Kumar heard this explanation of bhava tattva, they became wonderstruck and sat silently for a while, absorbed in thoughts of bhava. After some time, they said, "Prabhu, the powerful rain of your nectarian instructions has created a flood of prema in our scorched hearts. Now, what should we do? Where should we go? We cannot understand anything. It is very difficult for us to attain bhava because our hearts are bereft of humility. We're full of pride because of our Brahmin birth. And the only thing that can save us is your abundant love and mercy. If you bestow a drop of prema on us, we shall certainly achieve our liberation, our objective. Our only hope is that we have been able to establish a spiritual relationship with you. We are extremely poor, wretched, and destitute, and you are Krishna's dear associate and supremely merciful. Please be merciful to us and instruct us as your duty." Vijay Kumar took advantage of the opportunity and said, "At this very moment, Prabhus, the desire is rising in me to renounce household life, obtain residence as the servant of your lotus feet. Vrajanath is just a boy, but he does not desire to, but his mother wants him to become a grihastha, but he does not desire to do so. Please give me your instructions of what to do in this connection." Okay, we'll end here for today. Are there any questions?
No questions. Thank you so very much. You actually, I had a question from last week, but you answered it tonight. So thank you.
Who is this now?
Tiffany Cooper.
Oh, Tiffany. Okay, thank you. Tiffany, I know who you are. Of course I know who you are. I just was trying to put the voice again. Okay, anybody else like to say hello today?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, this is Brajaradze.
Oh, okay. Hare Krishna. Good. This is very wonderful stuff that we're studying now. It's beautiful.
Yes.
Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we're going to end for today. I got to get out my morning activities. Don't you call me, please.